Hi, we're back with a new podcast for the 2014 season of Big Brother.
Woohoo! That's all I have to say. No, we're really excited to be back and we're looking for careers in radio.
Just like the housemates. So if anyone knows anyone, preferably an executive producer of Big Brother, we really need to get into radio and that's why we brought the podcast back. So here's to a new season of Big Brother.
Can't hear it, but I just had a really, really hearty gulp of wine.
So, should we start from the top? Maybe the launch episode?
Absolutely. I can't think of a better place to start, really.
It started and I wasn't quite sure whether I was watching Big Brother or some kind of Coca Cabana talent show.
There was definitely some elements of Dancing with the Stars in there.
It was, it seemed very rushed and I don't know. It feels like they had a really intricate dance planned, and then Sonia revealed that she was pregnant, so they had to really tone it down to her just in one hand doing these kind of Madonna Vogue hand movements and in the other hand picking up the trail of her dress. Someone I mentioned that Sonia waltzing down the eviction walkway looked like she was the mother-in-law from a Bollywood film.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? A lot of the people in, all of the talented artistic people in Queensland have moved because of the state of politics there. So, you know, they've got to make sure they have careers for all of the budding dancers in Queensland. So maybe they all just got pitched to perform on the show.
The plus side is that's the last we've ever heard of the Big Brother storm. you know, the lead up to the show, they always talk about some, twist or some secret or some storm. And then you see some vague reference to it on the launch show, i.e. the dance. Apparently it was a rain dance and on this launch. That's how it tied in. Like, it wasn't very clear, I guess. But it was over within 30 seconds. So I felt the beginning was really rushed. It was like, tune in tomorrow at the block. Hi, I'm Sonia Kruger. It's Big Brother Ultimate Social Experiments. Whoops, did a dance. Here's our first contestant, Priya. And then I was like, whoa, what just happened? Shit.
But even the before the show came out in all of the interviews, it was, you know, the executive producers saying that it's about converting the people who watch the block into watching Big Brother, and that's their main target audience. So it didn't surprise me that they launched straight into putting the housemates in there. Like, here's a person. Like, everyone knows Sonia. She's old news. They need to see new people on TV. So I agree, though. The whole episode felt rushed. It felt like it got crammed into a really, really small amount of time, and you actually didn't even get to see anyone. And Channel 9 or all reality television these days is so scared of someone, you know, having a free the refugees moment and saying something out of order that they basically don't even give them the microphone at all until they're in a confined space where they can control everything that's going on. It just felt a little bit that no one got a, you know, you couldn't help but totally judge them based on stereotypes, what they look like, what they were wearing, and the two questions that they answered.
So the launch was on much later, and this whole week has been later at 8:40. I was hoping that with the later time slot, there would have been some more mature content. And I was really hoping that Sonia's intro dance would have been Nicki Minaj Anaconda, so she could really shake that ass down the stage. But then I thought, dancing the Anaconda dance probably wouldn't be good for that baby that's inside of her.
I think we're going to keep hearing baby jokes until the end of the season, even when the motivational speaker, Paralympian guy, came on. He made a joke. Was it him or the magician? I can't remember. But someone made a joke about creating the baby that's inside her, and I just can't help
it. Was the magician. And he won't talk about no magic.
Have you seen his body, though? He's hot.
It's a prerequisite to get on the show. So going back to my Nicki Minaj Anaconda thing, I was pretty gutted that she wasn't talking about how fat her ass was. And so I did put together this little tune on how I thought the launch introduction should have gone down.
Prepare for a wild ride, Australia. I'm Sonia Kruger and the Big Brother storm has arrived.
Oh my gosh, look at her butt.
Look at her butt.
Does this
dress make me look fat?
And that is the launch recut by the Behind Big Brother team.
So if we don't get a job as radio hosts, at least I have a career in radio production.
Absolutely. You could produce ads for the, you know, the stars. Or the next Big Brother evictee who has a career in radio. You could just jump straight into that career.
We know that's going to be Jake. Should we run through the housemates and give like a yay or a nay?
Absolutely. I can't remember all of their names though, so we might have to look that
Let up. Me just or bring up my phone.
Oh, well, look, I think we can start with Skye. I think she, the first time she came on television, I think I texted you and said, I absolutely cannot stand her. But now, I think she's great viewing. She's a total doofus. And I just wonder what the notes are that Big Brother has when she walked into the audition room. Like, what did Big Brother think would be her like redeeming quality as a housemate, aside from being a complete doofus? And I'm genuinely convinced that that is just how she is.
But, you know, she's a doofus with a heart of gold. She really means well, even though I'm just looking at her jump-in profile here. Somehow the photographer made her look like a 60-year-old woman, but we'll just ignore that. She really took the housemates to town with this food drama. Trust her naive personality to kind of pull the wool out of their eyes and say, look, you know, you guys are like being childish dicks about some food. Children in Africa are starving.
Yeah, absolutely. And that scene that they showed, I think it was on the second show where, what is her name? The redhead, the fiery redhead .jpg.
Gemma.
When Gemma said, oh, you know, I just wanted to tell you basically that I thought you were as deep as a paddling pool. And just that sent her on a complete tailspin all day to the point where she was retelling the story completely the wrong way. But hilarious television. Absolutely the trash that I want to watch after the block.
Okay, well, we've clearly picked our favourites. Let's do a really quick run through of each of the housemates and give a snap decision on whether they're a genuine human being.
Absolutely. I can't think of anything I'd rather do.
First, Priya.
I really like her. I think that her introduction... Oh, this is going to be longer than a quick snap judgment. But I think her introduction video didn't do her justice. And I think the housemates will hate her, but that will make her incredible viewing. They cast these types of characters in the Big Brother UK house all the time. And I'm totally gunning for her.
She's really quite sensible too. I mean, like, she knew straight away when they offered the money, like, I need that for my mortgage of all things, which isn't like some throwaway thing. I just fear that her upfront attitude and her sensibility is going to really clash with most of the housemates who have so far proven themselves to be quite immature. And
well, they're already ganging up on her.
And she'll be turfed very, very quickly because she doesn't prescribe to that sort of group whinge factor. I don't know.
I don't know, but I think with the whole vote to save thing is that she will last for at least a couple of weeks because the housemates... I think the way that evictions are structured now, that she has to stay for a couple of weeks before the public gets sick of her because they form allegiances with the housemates they like, and then those housemates don't like Priya, and then Priya gets kicked out. I think we'll see her for a few weeks.
And she can't be kicked out too soon because she's the racial diversity in the house.
And Channel 9 need to fill their quota.
Yeah, man, like it's back to the White House if she goes. I rewatched the launch episode and I didn't realize it at the time, but when she is introduced and walks down the eviction plank, they play this like oriental music in the background. It's very pseudo-racist. Everyone else gets just this funky filler stock music, but Priya gets the ching-chong music. And they made her wear like Indian costume, basically.
Yeah. And you've seen since she's been in the house, that's not what she wears every day. That was, yeah, it's filling a racial diversity quota. I hope that they don't kind of continue taking that one for a ride.
Okay, next, Dion. I really do not like this guy. I think he's a bit of a self-righteous douchebag, particularly his comment when he was introduced. It was along the lines of, I don't think girls really respect themselves, and that's why men don't respect them. Because, you know, it's the girl's fault in all of these circumstances.
Absolutely. It's always the woman's fault. I think that he's the sly fox. He's the total sly fox. He just kind of sits there with his back stretched out and his pectoral muscles out there. And I think he'll just be a real dud housemate. I don't think he'll have anything really interesting to say.
Yeah, and who takes anyone with pepperoni nips seriously? His chest looks like a pepperoni pizza. I'm just putting it out there.
My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
Katie, who's with Priya?
I actually can't stand her. She is a pretty weak human being, I think. The way that I think it was Thursday's episode where she said, you know, I don't give a fuck what Priya thinks because Priya is the one who made me take this money.
Girl.
I almost vomited onto my television screen. She, you know, has let someone, well, in her mind, stomp all over her on day two in the house. Like, come on, babes. Pull yourself together. Get a personality.
She was very weak when all of these other housemates were also starting to gang up on them for the money. Priya was sticking by her guns. Look, I need this money. I chose it fair and square. It's part of the game. Whereas Katie was like, oh, I don't want people to be angry with me. I have a whole lot of debt, but I'll just spend thousands of dollars to buy you guys a few meals.
That's the thing. She'll say to them, okay, I'll just spend $1,000. And then behind the scenes, one person asks her if they can have a bit more money. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. Oh, but I wanted to stick to my budget. I think she's just a bit wishy-washy. I'm not into it.
Okay, next is Gemma, the redhead.jpg.
Haven't seen enough of her yet, but I think she'll be really fun.
Yeah, I agree. We have not seen much of her at all this week. Although tonight's episode, Friday night, people were already starting to bitch about how she dominates conversations. But, you know, I haven't really seen it because the editing hasn't shown her.
Yeah, absolutely. Next.
Next, David.
Oofed.
So when David and I, this David on the microphone, were watching the launch show, I texted him like, ooh, I really want to like get in David's pants. Soz, not you.
I think I'll get to like him, but at the moment he's gravitating towards the doofuses of the house.
Yeah.
And that's problematic. But I think we'll see him. He seems like a nice kind of guy, and I think his relationships will flourish with some of the other girls in the house, not to be sexist or anything, but I think we'll see more of him come out through that direction than we will through hanging out with the dudes in the house.
Absolutely. He seems like the type of housemate who's going to really coast on through, and he'll hang out with the bad crowd first, but once the bad crowd is all evicted, he'll kind of like flourish into his own towards the sort of the 3-quarter mark of the series. I don't see him being winner material though. He doesn't have that chiseled edge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jake is next.
I actually don't have anything to say to him that's not already on our website.
I feel sorry for him, but I don't like him at the same time. I appreciate that he's kind of, he may have had an up-and-coming tennis career that fell flat. That's speculative. But he's obviously been one of those guys who's really tried to get into media, into radio circles, into acting, and hasn't been overly successful. And I feel like he's jumped into Big Brother to try and pump that up, and may even be sort of hanging around Tim Dormer for that reason. I don't know. That's speculative as well. But I just don't have a whole lot to say about him that's positive.
They keep giving him a lot of airtime as well, but he's not really doing a whole lot. Kind of, it seems like mindless kind of babble.
He's the puppy dog of the house. He jumps up and down and gets really excited, but what did we actually watch? Jason is next.
You know what? Jason gets on my tits a bit. And I can't. I don't know why. I think I'll grow to like him.
Can you explain how he gets on your tits exactly?
Well, I think, I don't know. I think it's the way that, I think it's the way he moves his mouth when he talks. And Australian accents always end higher. And so everything sounds like a question. And I think his sounds like, every time he speaks, it sounds like a question with two question marks. And I'm quite a grammar Nazi.
That totally makes sense. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. I haven't seen enough of Jason, like Gemma, to make a full judgment of him yet. I don't know. I believe there's a couple of gays in the house. There's a couple of gay men, right?
I think so.
He's clearly the token one, but it's really tokenistic in a cheesy kind of sense. Like when they were getting to know each other, his headline was about how he was disowned when he came out of the closet, which is apparently not completely true if our front pages to be read. In 2004, even if you're gay and have had a hard time coming out, there's probably something better to explain who you are than your coming out story.
Yeah, I don't know. The gay card bores me a bit these days. It's 2014.
Let's move on to Lisa. I don't know who this person is.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, next is Ryan. Again, I'm not sure.
I'm not exactly sure who he is. I know he's buff and I saw like a bit of bicep on one episode.
I could probably pick him up out of a I could probably pick him out of a lineup of men wearing paper bags, but other than that, I don't know.
No.
Sandra.
I think she's the one that said something about, like, being a bit angry that everyone had gotten so... Oh, that's right. Yeah, she said, I'm just a bit confused as to why everyone's gotten so upset about food. I think she's really level-headed and she might become a bit of a mum of the series, maybe, or might be the kind of counsellor.
Are you sure you're not getting confused with Kat? I think.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Sandra. Sandra said something to one of the other housemates, not in the diary room.
It's still early days. They still all look like the same person to
me. Also, so many of them are blonde. How am I meant to tell them apart?
Let's just quickly have a top up.
I can't wait to drink that.
I'm really happy I didn't spill any of that on our expensive microphone.
This microphone had to be taken out from underneath my stairs where it was completely covered in dust and all of the knobs were facing in the wrong direction.
It took us 30 minutes and 2 bottles of Yellow Glen to get this set up properly again.
Let's hope it sounds okay.
Moving on to the next housemate, it's Travis. Ugh.
Yeah.
My most hated housemate so far.
Is that just because of his, like, bogan twang, though?
No,
it's quite irritating.
Well, it is irritating. I generally don't like doofusy, blokey guys, but this guy really grinded my goat so bad that I wrote some notes, and the notes are greedy knob. He's really greedy knob. He was the one that instigated this whole tirade against Priya and Katie about the food. And he really did it in a sly way. He was trying to put across this idea that he was looking out for all of the housemates, saying, oh, all of us need food, and they took our prize money. It was just thinly veiled greediness, to be honest.
Yeah, he's the greedy alpha male, and he's trying to position himself as the alpha male. If this was the animal kingdom, he would have, like, pissed and shat all over that house.
It's early days. I wouldn't put it past him. I've got a quote from tonight's episode from Friday night where he was talking, I think he was talking to Sandra on the stairs, being such a nice, genuine guy that he is. I need a girl who makes me laugh, .. who has all those banging tits.
Yeah, I'm not into him. I do worry that he is quite attractive though, and he will stay in just for the younger demographic that vote him.
Speaking of attractive, let's move on to the next housemate, Sam.
Oofed. Sam, before he went into the house, aka when we broke the story, having a quick Google, having a search around, he seemed like a really interesting guy. Then when he went in, I was still convinced that he was interesting. And then he seems to, like some other housemates, gravitated towards the doofuses of the house. And
Sing it.
and the only redeeming thing, and they could have very well have not shown it, was when he went and apologized to Katie for being a dick about the way that he went about talking about the food, which I thought was quite nice and quite respectable of him to do. But he just seems to, he kind of gets in that ladsy mode, like, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, lads, rah. And I worry that that might, be his downfall.
I ditto everything you just said. So, Kat?
I don't know who she is.
One of the housemates, apparently. So next is Aisha.
Who?
I know she's from New Zealand, but we just haven't seen much of her yet.
She went in with Sam, didn't she?
Yes, on the same night. I forget if they're partners.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about her.
Okay, next, Lawson.
You know what? I am quite a fan. I thought when he went in, you're a bit of a kind of show pony. But the little tiny bits that I've seen of him so far, yeah, cool.
And he's definitely become a key member of the nice people group.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's from WA, so as fellow Perthians, we have to get behind him. Not literally. Well, I can't help but notice that my drink's empty.
Better top that up. So now that we've gone through all of the housemates, let's have an interview with them. This is a new segment, and so that we sound professional and potentially get jobs in radio, I've got a sound effect to bring us into the new segment. I've got Priya and Katie on the line. This is very unheard of in the Big Brother world, but you know, with no live feeds, anything goes, right? So we've got them on the line. We're going to ask them a few questions. So Priya and Katie, what do you think of the Big Brother house?
It feels like a cheap Greek mansion.
It's a cheap Greek mansion. Let's talk about the house, actually, while we're talking about cheap Greek mansions. It's very pokey this year. It seems like the cameras are having a hard time getting into some of the nooks, or they're constantly panning. Have you noticed that?
Tonight's episode showed a pole in the gym talking, and it had Gemma's voice. But I bitch, but I think the nooks and crannies thing is actually working out. It's been explained that it was purposely designed to have these little small areas where only two or three housemates could chat, i.e. bitch, about each other. I think it's working quite well so far.
Yeah, definitely. But we are going to end up with a lot of moments where there's a poll that's surtitled because it's mumbling.
And when you don't have a poll that's surtitled, you have the most shoddy editing I've ever seen. There's been so much talk about this on Twitter, about the editing. I swear last night on the Thursday night show, I saw Katie talking in the kitchen and mid-sentence, the footage cut, her arms were suddenly above her head. It was like a poorly animated GIF.
There's also been various moments where in the timestamps are all wrong. And so someone will be wearing a certain outfit, having a conversation, and in the next frame, there won't have been an update. We talked about this last podcast, aka two years ago. But it seems as though you're seeing a chronological, very linear thing, but actually it's jumping around more like a soap opera to tell you a story of a couple or a certain thing that's going on when really the chronology is way off.
Absolutely. And these food replacement shakes are not helping. Apparently, there was an episode, I didn't quite catch it, but they were walking around holding shakes. And then literally the next cut was, should we have some shakes, guys?
And yeah, that's actually one thing that I don't know that the executive producers thought of, is that because they're on those drinks all the time, they're always holding them. And so I watch the levels of them. They go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down with the same housemates. Like, just, you have to make them eat them or drink them or whatever the hell it is in one go and stay in the one place.
Just shelve those shakes. That brings us on to the white elephant in the room about this season, and the thing that's really defined 2014, unfortunately, is the lack of live feeds and the move to this kind of soap opera-y show where it doesn't really matter what day it is or what time it is. They'll just edit footage however they like, and because there's no live feeds, whatever, it goes.
It's a very American model, and Big Brother US did this years and years and years ago, and it's a very different television consumer market, I guess. But haven't they
stopped that now? Like, I know the US has live video feeds online.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. We're both Big Brother purists, and the live feeds for me that were the one other way for people who were really fucking dedicated to this show to listen. Even if it was for 10 minutes or 5 minutes a day, you got to see something, because the shows only go for, what, 41 minutes or whatever. Even if you just listened for 5 minutes, you got to see something that was likely not going to be on The Daily Show. And it instantly gave you an insight into what was happening in the house and that these are actual real people and they're living their lives. Whereas now, I don't have that. Their website is terrible. There aren't even news items anymore. It's created by an ad agency, essentially, their website. And then you get this show that is put together by, you know, some diehard Big Brother people who run this thing. But you've only got 41 minutes in a day. What are they meant to show us?
I don't feel like we've actually moved past the launch night just yet because of everything we've seen. Like, one episode was completely devoted to their favorite types of food and we didn't really see anything else. I don't know. Ryan, who is one of the staffers at Behind Big Brother, pointed out a really interesting thing to me, is that none of the inside areas of the house show daylight. So they could potentially film for 3 days and then just package it all together onto different days, or they could just not bother filming for 3 days and have footage stored up and we wouldn't know.
Well, the housemates wouldn't even know either. Like, by the time they get out, if they ever got around to watching all the shows that they were in, they would never get that conversation or that kind of chronology of it out. I've used the word chronology twice already in this podcast.
we're up to our seventh bottle of Yellow Glen. So
I agree, though. I think that it's more of a soap opera format, and if it has been secured with his later time slot, it doesn't need to be like that.
The problem is that it is a soap opera now, but it's no different from any other reality TV show. So really, when you don't have a live element at all, this type of show can be packaged up and be weekly. That's what it's like. It's like an E! Entertainment Channel Keeping Up with the Kardashians kind of show now. It doesn't need to be broadcast every night if this is the way it's going to be. Please don't make it weekly. And the reasons that keep being trotted out for no live feeds, and in particular no video live feeds, are that, oh, the situation's changed. People don't want to watch live video feeds. And it causes all sorts of censorship issues. We'll get another turkey slap, rah, rah, rah. That's bullshit, to be honest.
Any live feed is better than no live feed.
And any live feed, even back in Channel 10 days, was put on a delay. So the reason the turkey slap got out was because the person on the delay kill button wasn't doing their job. That feed would have been delayed at least 20 minutes.
Absolutely. And it was in the middle of the night as well. Like, I think it's all just an excuse. And I think it's about shows slimming down. And it's a bigger conversation, I guess, about Australian television. And there's less money being put into it. And this is a really, really expensive show. Someone wheeled out a fact the other day saying that this is the most expensive season of Big Brother ever.
Well, apparently the renovations have been the biggest cost-wise ever. And that is obvious. But I would rather have a basic house than slash cost on the social media team. It looks like, and it sounds like from people I've spoken to at Endemol, that the digital component moved from Endemol to being entirely handled by Channel 9 this year. And that's why we're not even getting a Twitter feed. And what's worse is we're not getting a reason why there's no Twitter feed. Everyone is silent. They just won't say why.
And I don't feel like it's just us either. Like, we are a community, and a community of dedicated people. But it's not just it's regular people as well. When they had the live Twitter feed, people were following that. Like, there are thousands and thousands of people that are following it, and now they're completely not being catered for. Also, sometimes, yes, there's that wretched jump in live streaming thing where you cannot skip the ads. But that's, like, I just want to read through an hour or 15 minutes when I'm on a tram or something, and that capability is completely gone.
Jump in makes me want to jump in front of a tram. It's really that bad. It's a terrible website. Let's move on to more fun topics. What have you thought of the sort of power twist so far?
I like it. The bit that I don't like, and I harp on about this all the time and always have, is, yes, it's a game show, but there are people in there that are just too... they're trying to figure it out too much instead of letting it go on a ride. Like, you know, your rent is being paid. You're being paid to be on this show. You're about to become famous. Just let it wash over you. And immediately when the money thing happened, I can't remember which housemate it was, one of the doofus groups, was like, oh, Big Brother's going to make it really hard for us, and he's going to see that we've taken this on really easy and la la la. It's like, oh, I actually don't want
to... sounds like it's Travis when you say like that.
Yeah. I don't want to hear you talking about Big Brother. Like, that should be against the rules, talking about Big Brother.
It's clear that this year is a different flavor, though. It's all about the competition and the bitching, which is interesting because the bitching element has never been something that Australia has sort of endorsed. Mm. Whenever there's been bitching housemates in the past, they get the kick out so fast. But this season, everyone's a bitch.
I like it because everyone is going to get a go as well, because the public get to vote, I think. Am I right? That the public get to vote on who the next power bottom couple are?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, the power bottom couple go have a power play in the power room. Yeah. In the power sling.
In the power sling. But that means that everyone's going to get a go of it. And so I think we're not going to end up at the moment this week and probably next week. You know, people will just be like, well, they've got this power, meow, 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 meow. But then once they have had it once, it will become far more competitive and everyone will kind of understand it or get it. At the moment, no one else has been given that opportunity, and Priya only got it because she was the first one into the house for whatever reason.
P.S. Priya being given the power straight off the bat was B.S. And it was just like, sorry.
Did you hear her wheel it out on Thursday's episode where she was like, well, you know, I'm always going to know that I was the first one in this house.
Yeah, meow, meow, meow. It was like, it was part of that whole rushed beginning. Sonia's like, I just danced. Here's the first housemate. It's Priya.
Well, she was buffed out, babe.
She was panting through gritted teeth. It's Priya. Meow, 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 meow. No, when Priya came out on stage, Sonia's like, oh, and because you're the first, they've got the power. And I'm like, was it alphabetical? Obviously not.
I think they've done, do you remember a couple of years ago they did some kind of like personality thermometer? Do you remember that it was on the
nominee? It wasn't the voice stress analysis,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, we're going old school. This is like 2005, right?
Yeah, I think they must have used some kind of like personality analysis, Myers-Briggs something, to decide that Priya would be the best power bottom to begin with, and that's how they've chosen.
Oh my gosh, look at her butt.
Look at her butt.
Although, did I read somewhere, or maybe they said it on the show, that the two housemates that were selected to be the power people were based on some kind of personality matching? Was that right?
Well, no, because Priya chose who she was going to be with. Oh. But, I mean, even that's being scrutinized because Katie came on stage and they're like, oh, hello, I've never met you. Hello, we're strangers. Ha ha ha.
All of that stuff is bullshit, though, because by the time they get down to the second, third, fourth rounds of interviews, everyone, if you're from the same state, you've met that person before.
And also, even on launch night, they're all in some box in the back of the studio, the back of the auditorium. Like, they can't keep them all separated as they're led out onto stage. So, yeah.
Well, let's face it, Priya and Katie are not going to be friends after this week. Well, actually, they're already not friends.
So, going back to the power bottom play, there's moments that are really working. Cash bum bags.
Yeah, that's one of my things here. Cash strapped to body is amazing.
The cash fanny packs.
The cash fanny packs. And having to wear them all season as well. I love that kind of shit. I love when Big Brother's like, you know what? I'm actually in control and I will make you do this the entire time you're in the house.
And I do like that Big Brother is really sticking to his guns too, because it became a really annoying fact that Big Brother Australia was a real softie in previous seasons. He would lay down the law, but then let things really slip away. This time around, he's like, now you wear that fanny pack, cash pack fanny thing. And
do you want to say fanny again?
Fanny. And we're going to roll out the diner. And then when you give housemates extra cash, we're just going to bump up the prices because we're Big Brother and screw you.
Yeah.
I really like that element. I did not like that there was one entire episode dedicated to food. And we've talked about this on the podcast like 2 years ago and even before then. Big Brother has a really bad habit of trying to solicit reactions from the housemates using food. And it gets really tiresome.
Absolutely. When you have psychological control over X amount of people, food is, yes, absolutely one way to go there. But there are other ways to do it. Even the old tasks where they used to wake them up in the middle of the night were more entertaining than people talking about food. And at that time, people are eating as well. Like it's, I find it really irrelevant. The other thing I did really enjoy is when Big Brother made, I can't remember the names yet, made them go and count to 5,000 in that wretched queue.
Oh, that was Jason.
Yeah. I love that idea. Like, Big Brother, yes, you won't go and do this. But then they dedicated a good 2.5 minutes of the show to them counting to 5,000. And then Sonia had to say, guess how long it takes to count to 5,000? 41 minutes. Like, oh, fuck off. Like,
I don't care.
Can we
get back to Sonia? Because I'm in a real bitchin' mood.
Absolutely, babe.
There was a thread in our forums where people were asked to rate the hosts of Big Brother Australia. Obviously, everyone put Gretel first because she was really a champion at handling everything that was thrown at her. And she really got through.
Including a turkey slap.
No. Which season was it when someone threw a glow stick or something and it hit her in the back of the head right at the end of the season when they were saying goodbye?
If you need to revisit that, it's actually my avatar on the forum right now.
Anyway, everyone ranked the hosts. Gretel came first, obviously. Some people put Sonia second and Kyle and Jackie O were coming dead last. But I actually put Kyle and Jackie O on the same level as Sonia. I just don't think she's really doing anything for the show, especially this season. She's checked out completely. She's pregnant. She has bigger things to worry about.
She's a bobbing head.
She's a coin-operated robotic host.
Well, when there aren't that many live things to do, they don't interview the housemates anymore. Alex has already said that they're not going to do the 10 questions on eviction night. Like, what's the point of having a live host? It might as well be what's her name? The US host, the robot?
Someone
Chen?
Yes.
Anyway, she's a total robot. Look her up on YouTube. There's some incredible compilation videos. But there's no reason to have her there. Just move on. Don't have a host.
The thing that really bugs me too is that Sonia speaks to the audience like she's hosting play school. She really does. I watched
She's preparing for a baby. I think she does a good job and she's good. Her other television stuff has been quite good, but I don't know about this show. It's a lucrative deal, though. It's very well watched for television these days. They should have got Mike G out there and dancing. Actually, that's one thing to talk about. It's nice that they've wheeled him out again. Do you think he has like a 100-year contract with Big Brother? So I'd like to talk about, and we have brought this up on a couple of previous seasons of podcasts, is the crack watch.
I just saw that note on your phone.
And that is...
I tweeted about that.
Really?
And the tweet was, 2014 will be the year of Sam's crack.
Yeah, and there's always one housemate. And I do feel a little bit bad bringing this up because I guess, you know, there's less of it, less of his shorts to hold on to. But it's, yeah, his crack, buckle yourself in. You're going to be seeing a lot of his crack. My anaconda don't want
none unless you got buns, hun. I'm not complaining.
No. Or, yes, is there a gym in this year's house?
Yeah, it's like an Uber super gym. It's the most sophisticated gym they've had so far.
Mm. Okay. Well, I think we'll see a lot of gym compilations, and as it gets hotter...
Well, as it gets hotter, there's going to be less clothing being worn. I mean, already, I don't know what the temperature's like in Queensland right now, but even right now in the episodes tonight and last night, everyone was half naked already.
Also, and when they're wearing their like running outfits but just doing walking laps of the pool, I love that. It's like, well... This part is not good, but when you go to the zoo and you see a lion that's like banging its head against the thing because it's, you know, stuck in there and animal cruelty, hashtag animal cruelty. But then seeing humans do it and just wandering back and forth, it really, really gets me going.
See, I would pay $50 for a season pass of live video feeds to watch these people pacing around the pool like lions.
Well, remember, that's how it used to be. And there was that incredible... It was when it was bigbrother.iprimus.com.au. And there was that awful...
Oh, you're taking me back.
Taking you back. But there was that TV ad, do you remember, where it had like a camera inside a soap, a piece of soap, and the guy went to grab the soap off the... Anyway. But
hashtag the 2000s.
The 2000s. Yeah, this was 2001 or 2002, I think. But pay for a season pass. We pay for everything else. Like, I pay for Netflix. I pay to watch stuff on television. I pay to download music. Why offer that pay-per-view kind of thing? I don't know the legalities of that, but I wonder if that would get around some of his censorship issues if you're paying for a service and you... Remember, I wasn't even 18 at the time. You had to use a credit card to prove that you were 18.
I don't know. It goes back to our conversation about the live feeds.
It's very safe. And I think, you know, I'm glad that Big Brother is back because I think it's an incredible social experiment, et cetera, et cetera. And I am glad that it's back. But it's too family friendly. And it's a shame that we don't have not that I want more people to subscribe to the pay TV thing that starts with an F. But it's a shame that that isn't a bigger thing like it is in the UK or the US, where channels can put so much money into a show like this because they have people buying the content on a monthly subscription or whatever, and so we have to rely on free-to-air TV. But it's giving people jobs, so I guess that's a good thing. Except for the social media.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think Big Brother social media is run by maybe like one person who's been outsourced to Delhi.
So they're on a completely different time.
Well, there's a theory. Like, even last year, people were theorizing that the social media was run by people in Delhi, which does actually happen. And this year, the official Big Brother Twitter is being very scarce and very robotic. They live tweet repeats of the show on Go Channel, and it's the exact same tweets that are posted during the live show, which means someone's just programming a social media monitoring / publishing software package to push out these tweets. And I should know because I do this as part of my day job as well. But it's just, yeah, it's not really, there's no live element to anything anymore.
But they love to put the 9 live watermark in the bottom right-hand corner.
Even though the show was filmed 2 days ago.
Actually, I would like to talk about, and maybe only briefly, but I find the whole ratings grab by putting in the extra 4 housemates on a Tuesday just really, really strange. And having the... the whole the housemates going in, but because it was a day behind and they tried to ram in the $10,000 thing in the second day, you've got all these housemates that are looking frazzled and have, you know, they're dealing with the ramifications of what the other housemates have chosen to happen, and then they throw in these other two and you're kind of seeing these out of context faces and outfits and whatever. It's really quite jarring when just to get more ratings on a second day.
It was out of context everything. Even by Wednesday, we really hadn't seen any footage past Monday. It was very bizarre. Should we wrap up the podcast?
Do you have any other things on your
I did have a note saying that I'm really happy to see swearing being broadcast on the show again.
Yes, absolutely. Let's round it off with some things that we're happy with on this year's season. Swearing, tick. I agree. It gives it more of an adult angle. But we're going to just wait for the first... Actually, this Sunday's newspapers, I think we're going to start seeing the, you know, hashtag analysis articles about how it's ruining our kids' minds and melting their brains. I also am quite a fan of the diary room and the way that the seat is so large that it's really oriented towards having more than one person in there, which I think is often the best chats you get with Big Brother in the diary room with two people or more. The other thing I'd like to comment on is... Sonia's microphone with that bejeweled eye on it. That was a really nice touch. I think they must have fired the social media intern and got them to vajazzle Sonia's microphone. We should do that for our microphone.
But her microphone pack was not vajazzled. It was like this pink box attached to the back of her Jigglypuff dress. She looked like a Pokemon.
That's one of the things I don't like, actually, is that the microphone packs on all the housemates this year are huge, and they're all really, really bright coloured. I guess so they don't forget to wear them.
And I think the paired housemates have these like mini sashes that they have to wear in the same colour, just so that you get it.
Right, I see. I know we're talking about things we like, but one of the things I don't like is the MS-DOS, like, 97 word art that is used to display the housemates' names with the drop shadow and the like, lens flare.
That's very specific.
Look, I think that's it of the good things. Actually, you know what? No, celebration. The season is back. Okay, well, I think we're going to bust into some more wine. So, look, I can't guarantee that we'll do any more of these, but we'll certainly try.
So
I've got a lot to say.
Please raise your glass. I know there's a glass in front of you. Please raise your glass to Big Brother 2014. In this thread, everyone ranked the house. Shit, I'm a bit pissed, mate.